Thank you. Morning has broken. When I was preparing this morning's worship service, I worked with our own Janet Beatrice about publicity for the event. Janet is great about getting the word out to the press regarding all things FPC. To help herself position this morning correctly, jazz music with poetry about joy and gratitude, she asked me what today would be about. Some of you may know I like to write limericks, and so I quickly penned one for Janet. Well, there's music and poetry, too. After all, they may just have to do. So what if our prayer reaches nobody there, making sense in the end's up to you? I don't think she sent that to the press. But that's it. That's the message of this morning's worship. At the center of this time we have together is John Daniel's wonderful poem, Cinders and Flowers. It's a poem about the famous Mount St. Helens eruption, and especially about the time that has passed since. Mount St. Helens is depicted on the front of your orders of service. Unfortunately, we could not afford to print those in color. But if you'd like to see a beautiful color picture of the mountain, please visit the table in front of the altar after the service. This wonderful poem that I'll read concerns the choice we all make about how to cope with the sadder aspects of time passing. The choice is symbolized by the poem's title. In the face of loss, uncertainty, and change, confronting the volcanic eruptions that happen in our lives, will it be cinders, death and ashes, or flowers, color and life? The choice is up to us. In just a moment, you'll hear what John Daniel chooses, in spite of the pains and losses that he's experienced. So without further ado, and a little sip of water first, the poem. Cinders and Flowers by John Daniel. The north side of Mount St. Helens gapes wide open, where it blew out in 1980, and left this scrabbly strew of gray and white pumice glaring in afternoon sun and crunching beneath my boot steps. 10 years before the mountain exploded, I stood on the snowy summit one summer afternoon and shouted my joy down to the expansive earth. Since then, I have earned an unhappy back, an ankle that pains me with every step, a titanium knee, a shoulder of bone rubbing bone. Please tell me, believers in the resurrection of the body, which one? Oh, I'd take the youthful version where he offered, though not if his angst and confusions came with him. And I'm pretty sure this creaking frame could bear me up the mountain to search him out. But why? That peak where he stood and hollered, wanting nothing that was not there, is not there. The blowout left him and the 40 years between us in windy space, a quarter mile above the crater rim. If that boy is to live again, he will have to do it down here, in this body of complaints, trekking a blasted plain, a country born dead, but not dead now. Gophers swam up from their havens, stirring the grit and pebbles. Bunch grasses sunk roots. Willows, shrubs, and saplings, sparrows and flycatchers nesting among them, have taken hold by the snowmelt stream that pours from the mountain's core. And now, this late July, riots of blossoms have exploded all over. Blue lupine, penstemons pink and purple, Indian paintbrush of the deepest orange in clumps where I walk and hazing the farther slopes in soft pastels. I'm glad I stood on that summit once, if indeed it was me. But where on a mountaintop are the birds and flowers? I'm happy enough to saunter along in my gimpy way, here below, where I see not as far, but stand in scale with small beauties making the most of their moment. My legion of pains never failing to report that, like the mountain, I am alive and finding my way. Let us make the most of our brief moment. As Rumi says, there are at least 1,000 ways to kneel and kiss this beloved earth. Thank you. Thank you.